Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Bibles, I want you to turn two different places in the beginning, and then we're going to go several different places before it's all said and done tonight. And I want you to go with me to John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2, we're going to look there. And then also, I want you to go with me to the book of Proverbs, John chapter number 2, and then, not Proverbs, the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2. Proverbs, I'll get it right in a minute. John, we're going to Proverbs before it's all said and done, but Habakkuk chapter number 2 and John chapter number 2 is where we're going to start at tonight, and I want to talk to you just a little while tonight out of these verses, and the main reason I'm doing this is because the Lord led me in this way. But number two, also, if you heard what I was teaching this morning in my Sunday school class, and I had several come to me and ask me, preacher, will you deal with that in the auditorium? Will you talk about some of that in the auditorium? So I'm gonna deal with some. I'm not going to deal with all of it for the sake of time that I dealt with in our Sunday school class this morning. And really, in those that was in the class, those with me going to Habakkuk and John, that we're already in two different passages that I started out in Sunday school. But I want to look at some things here, and I'm not here to debate whether alcohol is right or wrong. I'm here to prove that it's wrong out of the Word of God. And that's what it's about tonight. It's not about my opinion, but it is about what the Lord has to say about it, what Scripture has to say about it. Amen. So we're going to look at some of tonight. Brother Rodney, will you give me just a touch more in the monitors tonight? And my throat is wanting to give me a fit for some reason. And if you give me just a touch more in that, I sure would appreciate it. And you say, well, preacher, what is the monitors? That's me hearing myself. You say, you like to hear yourself preach? I do when I'm preaching, because it keeps me from straining my voice. Other times I don't like to hear me preach. Amen. But anyway, let's stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 15. Habakkuk chapter number 2, look with me in verse 15. I'm going to read you one verse here, and then we're going to go to John chapter number 2. We're going to look at something in John chapter number 2 that the Lord helped me to see today that I've never saw before in John chapter number 2. Habakkuk 2:15 says this, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness." Now go with me to John chapter number 2. I don't have this marked, so give me just a minute. Get there if you're already there. John chapter number 2, Matthew, Mark, and comes. Hey, y'all are on top of things tonight. John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2, and I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 1. This is the passage of Scripture that everybody wants to go to and say it's okay to drink. But I want to show you something out of it. I was talking to Brother Todd McKeon today, and him and the Lord helped me see something in this passage today that I've never saw, and I want to show you tonight. It's always been there. I just had never saw it. It's not new. There's nothing new underneath the sun. Amen. Look what the Bible said in Luke chapter number 2. "And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." He goes on to say in verse 5, "His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." That's some very good advice right there. Whatever the Lord says do, just do it. Amen. She didn't say question it. She didn't say try to figure it out. She just said do it. Amen. Verse 6 says this, "And there was set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firstskins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots," watch this, "with water. and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear out. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew, watch this next part, the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and his disciples believed on him and manifested forth his glory. I missed that part, and his disciples believed on him. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. God, you know my heart's desire is to help us with this subject, Father, and Father, out of your word to see what you say about the subject of alcohol tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that you give us clear understanding from your word. God, if you don't want me to get above a monotone voice tonight, that's just fine. Lord, I just want to be pleasing to you. And Lord, I want you to be pleased in everything that I say and do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now you can be seated tonight. The first verse that we read to you is this, Habakkuk 2:15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. God says in Habakkuk, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. Woe unto him. God says not to do that. So for Jesus to make a fermented wine in John chapter number 2, he is contradicting what God said not to do in the book of Habakkuk. Can I get an amen right there? Now here's what I want you to see in John chapter number 2. How many of you, I know not everybody does, but how many of you has a red letter Bible tonight? A red letter Bible. I carry a red letter Bible just because I like a red letter Bible. I know every word in the Word of God is perceived by God, was inspired by God. Every word could be read in the Bible. Amen. I understand that, but while Jesus was on earth, those red words is what he said with his mouth and was recorded. Now, here's what I noticed in John chapter number 2 today. This is the scripture that everybody comes to, and they say this, Jesus turned the water into wine. Jesus turned the water into wine. Here's what I want to ask you tonight. Where in this passage of scripture did Jesus ever mention the word wine and say that he turned it into wine? Nowhere will you find in this passage of scripture that he said that. Nowhere. What you will find is the governor of the feast that had already got drunk, referring back to this as wine. Even the servants of Jesus, now I'm headed somewhere, stay with me. Some of you's already got cross-eyed on me. Even the servants of Jesus, when they referred back to it as water. And you say, well, what made the difference in what he drunk then and what he had been drinking? Jesus touched it. That's what made the difference. And anytime Jesus touches something, there's always something different about it. There is always something different about it. To say that Jesus made a fermented wine and put strong drink and put the bottle to his neighbor's mouth is to say that the deity, well, let me back up and say it this way. It's to say that the purity of Christ is insufficient. Because to have done that, Jesus went against the commandment of God in sin in doing that, and the blood of Christ is insufficient tonight. Nowhere does he refer to it as being wine. He refers to it as being water. His servants referred to it as being water. Was there something different to it? Absolutely, there was something different to it. Why? Because Jesus had touched it. That's the reason there was something different to it. But it was not in any way, shape, or form a fermented wine that Jesus made that day. You say, well, preacher, if you look at that Greek word, and if you want to study that Greek word, where did Jesus say that he done that, though? Jesus never said that he done that. Man said that he done that. And you say, what do you believe? I believe it was a grape juice that was purified. Whenever you study those first skins that they put that in, it was a purifying device, if you want to look at it that way. So for Jesus to have done that is to say that Jesus went against what God said do. And I'll say this to you again. Jesus never one time went against what God said do in his word. Now take your Bible, go with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs tonight. Proverbs chapter number 23. Go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah first. Isaiah chapter number 5. It's just a few books over from Proverbs. Isaiah chapter number 5. We're going to look at some verses tonight and just work our way through this. We'll get as far as we get in it tonight. And if I don't get everything covered that I want to cover, we'll come back next Sunday night and pick up again. Amen. I'll say this as you're finding your way to Isaiah chapter number 5. Paul Chappell has a tremendous book. It's a small book. You can read it. It's a little bit bigger than that. It's about like this, probably 30 or 40 pages. You can read the book in probably 20, 25 minutes on alcohol. It's a tremendous book. I encourage everybody. Matter of fact, if you're interested in one of them books, you tell Miss Leslie after service tonight and we'll order some and give to you. The Bible said this in Isaiah chapter number 5, verse number 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol and the tabret and pipe and wine, and in their feast. The Bible said this, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. He said, woe unto him that does that. What's he talking about? He's woe unto that man that goes out. And you know, everybody in our society today wants to be wine bibbers. They want, well, wine's okay. Well, man, it's so much scripture in the Bible against wine. I just read you one of them. Wine's as much alcohol as liquor is, as Bud Dummer and Miller Lowlife is. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Go to chapter 28. Chapter number 28. I want to look at a verse here. Isaiah chapter number 28. And we're going to look at a couple verses here. Isaiah 28 says this. But they also, verse number 7, I'm sorry, Isaiah 28, 7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Boy, does that not describe just an old drunk tonight, to be honest with you, amen? I'm not being ugly, I'm being honest with you tonight. Now I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter number 20. Proverbs chapter number 20. Just flip back a couple books and you'll come to Proverbs. If you grab your Bible and flip back a few pages, you're probably going to land in Psalms. Go forward one book and you'll be in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 20. Proverbs chapter number 20. And as you find in your place, I want to say something, and I don't say this I say this to help you tonight. I was trying to find Habakkuk today and done this very thing because sometimes my mind draws a blank. But in the front of your Bible is the book of the Bible, the books of the Bible. And when you have trouble finding one, go to the front of your Bible and look. There's no shame in that, amen. I've done it today. And there's been times when and preachers has called out, something that you don't go to all the time. And I'm like, man, where in the world? I know it's in the Old Testament. When you get into Minor Prophets, it's just two or three chapters. You'll thumb through there 47 times and miss it every time. But anyway, here's what the Bible said. Look in Proverbs chapter number 20. Wine is a mocker. strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now here's something I want you to note in Proverbs chapter number 20 with me tonight. And we're going to begin breaking some of these verses down now. But here's something I want you to note with me. If you underline or if you write in your Bible, I like to use red if it's something that I really want to pop out to me. I'll use red. And if it's something that's continually running through the Bible that I'm studying, I use green in my Bible. And if I use green, I know there's something else in that book or in that chapter that goes with that. And then blue, I guess you could say, is just my everyday writing notes is in blue. But watch this. In Proverbs chapter number 20, I want you to underline a couple words or circle one word that is mentioned here. The Bible said wine, circle this word, is a mocker. Strong drink is, circle that, raging. And whosoever is, circle that, deceived. Thereby is, circle that, not wise. Know what the writer says to us, Solomon says to us in Proverbs. He didn't say that there is a might be here. It doesn't say wine might be a mocker. Strong drink might be raging, and whosoever is deceived or whosoever may be deceived thereby might not be wise. No, he says is. In other words, he's making a statement to us tonight about alcohol. And here's what he's saying about it tonight. It is a mocker. It is raging. People is deceived by it, and whoever is deceived by it is not wise. The primary use of the word mocker in the Bible is scorner. Scorner means this. It's extreme contempt or disdain from another. Even though the world wants us to think that alcohol is fun, exciting, it's harmless, it don't hurt nobody but you, it actually scorns you. And what that means tonight is it hates you. It brings you to a level of embarrassment about your life. It brings you to a place where you don't even remember what went on. You say, well, preacher, you know, it takes me 10 beers to get drunk. So the Bible says don't be drunk. Well, you know what? If it takes 10 and you drunk one, you're a tenth drunk. Let's just be honest about you're a tenth drunk right then. And what the Bible is saying to us tonight is it is a mocker. Wine will mock you. Strong drink is raging tonight. How many lives have been destroyed because of alcohol? Over the years, how many death notifications have I done because of alcohol, because of somebody that was drinking? And here's the misconception. It only hurts me. Go tell that to my aunt and uncle that lost their son in 1987, which would have been Jacob's uncle David, that in 1987 was hit head on by a drunk driver. Go tell that to them. I remember very well standing that night at North Wilkesboro Hospital and then going to Baptist Hospital with him dying because of a drunk driver. Man that loved the Lord, him and Pam loved the Lord, his wife loved the Lord, was serving God, running a bus route. But what happened? It made a mocker and it was raging in somebody else's life, and then therefore it affected our family's life. I'm sure that if we was to ask the question, everybody in here, how many homes has been affected by alcohol? Probably every person in here would raise their hand some way, shape, or form it's been affected by. So he tells us tonight, here's some things it is. Now go with me to chapter 23. Chapter 23, and we're going to read several verses here and dive into an outline on chapter 23. Now I'm probably going to skip some things that I went through this morning just simply because I really want to get to somewhere else. But chapter 23 starts out this way in verse number 29. Chapter 23, verse number 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? Now know what he says. I will seek it yet again. He talks about all the things that it's done to him. He says, they've beaten me, and I don't even realize it. He said, I was sick and didn't even know it. And you know what he says? Whenever I wake up, I'm going to seek it again. And I'll just tell you something. That is the effect that alcohol has on an individual's life. Some people says that alcoholism or being a drunk, that's what they used to call it in the old days, being a drunk is a disease. You're right, it is a disease. It's called sin. That's what the disease is. Every one of us tonight has the same disease. Some chooses to allow that disease to overpower their life, and some chooses to allow God to have the power over their life. Can I get an amen right there? So when we start in to these verses, number one, watch the command in verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. In Proverbs 23:31, there is a command, look not thou upon the wine when it is red. The biblical command about alcohol is this, don't look at it. Look is to see, it's to perceive, it's to inspect. It's a position of total abstinence is what Christ is saying to us right here and what the Word of God is saying to us. One should turn their eyes from the temptation of that sin. What did the Bible say in Hebrews 2:15? I've already read it, but let me give it to you again. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. Drunkenness is sin in the Word of God. It's wrong based on the Bible tonight. And the command is this, not to look upon it. I thought about what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Miss Kayla sent me a message today after the Sunday morning service and was asking me a couple questions about Sunday school and about alcohol, and we were talking about the temptations and the different things like that. The Bible tells us this, that we're to make no provisions for the flesh. We're to make no provisions for the flesh, to abstain from the very appearance of evil. And I want to say this to you tonight. There is a command from God that we don't put ourselves in a place where we're going to be tempted with that. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. I've said it before, but I want to say it to you again. By the grace of God, I never will have, but I've never had a problem with alcohol. I've never been drunk a day in my life. I'm thankful for that. I tell our young people all the time, that is the greatest testimony that they'll ever have. They don't have to go down a road of sin. They don't have to get drunk. They don't have to get messed up on drugs. They don't have to lose their virginity. The greatest testimony they'll ever have is to abstain from every bit of that. Now, there will be some mamas and daddies hollering amen right there on that, especially some that's been down that road and wish you never went down it. But I want to say this to you, and I don't struggle with an addiction to that. I've never battled that. But there are some people that is saved by the grace of God. They know the Lord's their Savior. They're trying their best to live their life like God wants them to live. And they cannot, I know some of them, some of them has talked to me about this, they cannot even be around it. Let me tell you the reason why. Because the temptation is so strong for them. So you know what he says? Don't even look at it. Just don't even look at it. Don't even, if you'll note, and I'm not really going to deal with a choice, I need to, but if you'll note the progression, he starts by looking at it. He starts by looking at it, and you know, that's where all sin starts at. That's where it started in the Garden of Eden. She looked at it. That's where it started in David's life. He looked at it. That's where it started in Samson's life. life. You know what the Bible said? He saw a woman. There was a woman that he saw that pleaseth him well. That's where it all starts at. So if we will guard what we're allowing our eyes to see and make no provision for the flesh, then that's one temptation that we won't have to deal with as much. So there's a command from God, and that command from God is simply this: look not thou upon the wine. Now, number two, there's a choice. I'm not going to deal with this choice much. Proverbs 23:30 says, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. They that tarry long go to seek. There's a choice that's there. They choose to look and tarry long. Tarry long, it means to delay, to defer, to hesitate, to procrastinate. In other words, they see it, and whenever they see it, you know, the Bible says this, that with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. Just like there's an exit right there, if something happens in here, that we can go out. It's an emergency exit. With every temptation that you face in your life, God has an emergency exit. Can I back up? David had an emergency exit when the servant said, is this not Uriah's wife? In other words, God gave him a way of escape right then. God throwed up a flag in his life. Samson, let's talk about him a minute. Samson had a way of escape when his mother and father knew not that it was of the Lord. I've heard some preachers preach that and say that his mom and daddy was not close to God, and Samson was closer to God than his mom and daddy, and his mom and daddy couldn't perceive what God had for his life. God didn't have that for his life. Samson looked the wrong way and hesitated, tarried long in looking at that, and he went down there, but his mom and daddy perceived it not. Then God gave him another way of escape when that lion come up against him in the vineyard in his life over there about chapter 14, chapter 15. God gave him another way of escape, but he didn't take it. So when we look, there's a choice that's there. He says, when you look at it, not to look at it, and then not to tarry long, because if you do, you're going to begin to seek after it. Amen. You're going to begin to seek after that. Now, I thought about this, and then we're going to move. At 6:51, I thought about this, and then we're going to move. You remember the story of Daniel, don't you? Daniel, the guy that got thrown into the den of lions. There's a difference in a lion's den and a den of lions. I'll get in a lion's den all day, but I'm not going to get in a den of lions. Are you with me? He was thrown into a den of lions. And whenever you study his life out when he was in Babylon, it's a picture of the world. You know that Daniel said in chapter number 1, verse number 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And Daniel abstained. There was a choice that he made. God had given a command. There was a choice that he made. Now, I want to say something to you. Daniel's choice to not give in to the world was not made that day when he got to Babylon. Daniel's choice to not give in to the world was made way before he ever got to Babylon. Now, I want to say something. Way before that temptation hits you, you better have made some priorities in your life that you're not going down that road. I tell our young people all the time, and Madeline, as she gets older, we've talked about this several times, and the vows that she's made to God and the commitments that she's made to God to keep herself pure. You better stick to that, and you better make that decision before you ever even are faced with the temptation to do it. Because if it's not made before you ever get there, you're going to fall to temptation, and your testimony's going to be ruined. It'll take you a lifetime, listen to me now, it'll take you a lifetime to build your testimony and one decision to completely destroy it. Completely destroy it. So there's the choice. But then watch this. I'm going to deal with this one and I'll be done tonight. The consequences of alcohol. There is consequences that comes with it. Every choice, you've heard me say it a million times, every choice has a consequence. There is a consequence that comes with choosing alcohol. There is a consequence. There's an earthly consequence, And then there is a judgment day coming, and they can be consequences there. Look what the Bible said in chapter 23, verse number 29. Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contention, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes? Who has all of this? This is who has all of this. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. He said, here is who has these problems. Woe is a passionate cry of grief or despair. A passionate cry of grief or despair. Who has that tonight? Who has that cry of grief or despair? It is believed to come from a basic root word, which means to wish for something. Meaning this alcohol leaves you in want and lacking, still wishing for something that you was looking for when you went to it that you still don't have. And plus there's other things that you don't have now. The consequences of it. The consequences of it. You know, I thought about this. You know, a lot of people says, man, I'm just going to drink my blues away. No, you're going to drink your blues to having more blues. I know I've said this before, and this might be a carnal illustration. Maybe I shouldn't give it, but I'm going to give it anyway. My daughter, Olivia, is a Western fanatic. She absolutely loves Westerns. She loves John Wayne. She loves the Big Valley. She loves Bonanza. All of those are great, man. Gunsmoke. She loves Westerns. And she loves The Virginian. Has anybody ever watched The Virginian? Charlie, The Virginian's good, isn't it? Charlie likes Westerns too. Matter of fact, we went to Boston on that missions trip, and I'll never forget one day I walked into their motel, and I asked Matt and Mandy and Charles and Gabe was in the same room, and I said, they had like a little apartment kind of. And I said, well, where's Charlie at? And they said, he's laying back there in the bed. I said, back there in the bed? Matt said, yeah, go back there. And I went back there, and Charlie, it was 1, 2 o'clock in the middle of the day. Charles had the covers pulled up to right here and had Westerns going wide open. And I said, Charles, what are you doing? He said, I'm watching Westerns, preacher. What are you doing? But anyway, the other day, Olivia was watching The Virginian. And I came in and I sat down. And whenever I sat down, one of them had went to get another guy. They had sworn him in. What's that guy that you think's cute that went to get that other guy? What's his name? Trampas. See there, I said cute. I knew it. She'd get it right. Trampas had went to get another guy. They had sworn Trampas in, and he had rode off somewhere and found this guy and was bringing him back for trial. And I asked Olivia, I said, well, what in the world did that guy do that Trampas went to get? And here's what she said. He got drunk and killed somebody. And I said, well, all right then. So I hit the park in the recliner right there and kicked my feet up, Brother Bailey, and got me some cookies and cream ice cream. Somebody say amen for cookies and cream ice cream in The Virginian. But not for the man that got drunk and killed them two people. And he began to talk as they was riding back, and his family come riding up. And I thought, oh boy, Trampas is going to get in a shootout here. And boy, this is going to be bad. Of course, Trampas wasn't going to get killed. He was going to kill everybody out. Everybody else, he's got a six shooter that'll shoot 47 times. Y'all ever notice that? I got a couple of them old Western guns like that. But mine quits after six times. But anyway, and his daddy asked him, he said, what did you do? And here's what he said. He said, I drunk 2 quarts of liquor, and when I came to, she was dead. That's what he said. And they said, well, we're carrying you in for trial. And it's what Trampas told those boys, and they said, no, we're going to take care of him. He said, no, I'm sworn to uphold the law. I mean, Trampas was a good one. He took him into trial, and I don't know what happened. Did they ever hang him? They hung him. Well, that old boy got hung for drinking 2 quarts of liquor. You want me to tell you the reason why? Because he done something that he didn't even know that he was going to do. You see the consequences of it. What does he say? Woe, a passionate cry of grief or despair. Who hath woe? Who hath grief? Who hath despair? You want me to tell you who it is? Look in verse number 30. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wines. He's given us the consequence of, watch this, sorrow. He goes on to say, who hath sorrow? Exclamation of pain and uneasiness. Who has contention? He goes on to say, it's filled with strife. Also translated as brawling. This is a plural meaning. There's lots of fighting and strife when it comes to those that tarry long at the wine. James 3:16 says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Alcohol brings envying and strife, therefore confusion, and every evil work follows after it. Follows. Oh, preacher, I can handle it. I'm telling you what'll end up happening in your life. Let's go on. He talks about sorrow. He talks about contention. But then he picks this up. He says, who hath babbling? We're taking the word of God right for what it says down through these verses. Who hath babbling? That's vain talking or complaining. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words there is one. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. More talking usually means more we sin. The more we talk, the more we sin. Let me tell you what happens to a drunk. You ever seen a drunk? Some, they'll talk themselves into the biggest mess. I'll never forget one night. I was at the store. I was by myself. Been years ago. I was coming in from a meeting, and I'd stopped to get me something to drink and some tater chips or a candy bar to get the rest of the way home. And there was an old drunk walked in. And you say, a sick person? No, an old drunk. That's just what they are, an old drunk walked in. They've got the disease of sin. They need Jesus Christ. And I was standing there in line, and he was wasted, man. He stunk, was wasted, and I thought, man, if I get the right opportunity, I'm going to at least give him a gospel tract. Maybe when he gets sober, he'll read that. I stand there in line, and he come up and run into me and throwed his, he had a big old bottle of liquor, and he throwed it down and cut loose the cussing because I standing there. And you say, well, what'd you do? Let me tell you what I wanted to do. Same thing you probably want to do sometimes in your life. I really wanted to knock him sober, just to be honest with you. I walked up to the counter, Brother Jerry, and I just paid for my stuff, and I just eased on out. I just paid him no mind. You say, why? Because he was babbling, vain of talking or complaining. That's what a drunk does. That's what alcohol, that's the consequences of it in your life. That's what happens, man. That's what I said this morning. I'll never forget, Brother Tim, whenever I worked in the hospital, I worked in security at the hospital. Man, they'd come in, and they'd come in early in a night shift, and we'd end up getting them in a room and fighting with them. Man, they'd cuss us and jump up and down, and they'd begin to push fluids and get them sobered up. And by the time the sun come up, they'd begin sobering up. And they'd always say, hey, look, if I said anything to you, I shouldn't have said I'm sorry. I don't even know what I said, and I don't even know what I'd done when I come in. Holes in the walls where we'd fought them in E7 back before Brother Brian. There was the observation rooms. You said, preach what? That's the consequences of alcohol tonight. See, the world wants to paint this picture that, you can drink a little bit, you can wine bib a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something. Once it gets its fangs in you, it's not satisfied until it completely destroys your life. Talks about babbling. He goes on to say this, who has wounds without cause, bruises, or unnecessarily being hurt. May not be just physical wounds, but wounds to the heart, losing a family, divorce, children not wanting anything to do with you, ruining careers, having to wake up and realize that somebody's dead or a whole family's dead because your foolishness of drinking and driving. I'm telling you tonight, wounds without cause. Wounds without cause tonight. Wounds without cause. How many, somewhere tonight, I've got an aunt, and no doubt there's still times that she cries herself to sleep because her son was killed by a drunk driver. Wounds without cause tonight. It affects more than you. Then he says this, He says, and I'm about to finish up here. I'm not, but I'm going to bring it to an end. Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of the eyes, a dullness, a blurredness is what that means. Blurredness, the state of being blurred or dimmed. That's what it does. It points you to where, or it takes you to a place where you cannot see clearly. That's what alcohol does in a man's life, and in a lady's life, in a teenager's life, in a young person's life. Watch this, chapter 23, verse number 32. I promise you, I'm trying to finish up right here. Stay with me just another minute or two, will you? Proverbs 23:32 says this. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold the strange woman, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea. Who in their right mind is going to lie down in the middle of the sea? Anybody knows you can't lie down in the middle of the sea. And he goes on to say this, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. You see those big boats in the ocean, and they have what's called a crow's nest or a bird's nest in them. And that's what he's talking about. They go up in that to lay down. I'm telling you, this is the consequences of alcohol. It is the consequences of alcohol. It says that it biteth like a serpent or stingeth like an adder. I'm not going to finish all this. I'm going to come back to it next Sunday night because I don't want to rush through it. It's more than, I want to say, come start playing softly. I want to say this the right way. It's more than just taking a swallow of something. Even, now God is against it. Somebody give me an amen right there. God is against it. But even if he had never said that he was wholeheartedly against it, but he does. Even if he had never said everything that he was against it, when we look at what it does, when we look at the consequences of it, why in the world would we want to walk down that road anyway? And I don't think nobody in here is a drunkard tonight. It's like I told the Sunday school class this morning. That's not why I'm teaching or preaching this. I'm preaching and teaching this so that when that crowd that you used to run around with comes to you and says, ah, Jesus turned water into wine, that's all they want to go to. They are so ignorant, and I don't mean that. They're so ignorant in the Word of God. That's the only, Brother Jacob, that's all they want to go to. They want to go to John chapter number 2. Well, hear me and hear me well. There's so much more to this subject than John chapter number 2. There's so much more to it. It's not just John chapter number 2. That's not the only place wine is mentioned. And Jesus never even made a complete statement that he done that. And I can promise you, it wasn't fermented. If it was fermented, we're all going to die and go to hell because God said, woe unto man that done that. Woe unto him that done that. They don't look at everything else. They don't want to talk about the consequences of it. Oh, it's just going to be me and some of my friends and we're going to have a designated driver and, well, does that make it right? Well, preacher, it's legal. Does that make it right? Abortion's illegal, but does that make it right? Absolutely not. You say, well, some places marijuana's legal. Does that make it right? Absolutely not. Let me just go ahead and I got one amen on that, so let me just back up and plow right back through there again. Absolutely not. It alters your mind. And absolutely it's not right. It's not right. If there's one thing that I am bull dogmatic against, and that's alcohol in any source. I'm telling you, I've seen too many lives destroyed, Brother Tim. Brother Brian, I've seen too many lives I've been woken up in the middle of the night too many times, Brother Caleb, to go somewhere and pull up on a scene and see a family laying in a car dead and some drunk walking around. There's nothing even wrong with him that's just hit him. I'm telling you, it destroys lives tonight. And the consequences is this. The consequences is divorce. The consequences is death. The consequences is destruction. The consequences is you missing out on your babies growing up. The consequences is the guilt that you'll suffer when something happens to somebody else and it's your fault. Their blood's on your hands. Their blood's on your hands. Amen. The consequences of it tonight. There's a command tonight. There's a choice tonight. There's a consequence tonight. Every choice has a consequence, whether it be good or whether it be bad. He goes on to deal with that, and I'll deal with those other consequences. I'll deal with the rest of those verses if the Lord lets me next Sunday night. We'll look at that. But I want to say something to you tonight. To wrap it up in a nutshell is this. Is alcohol a sin? Yes. And I'm telling you, is wine a sin? Yes. 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 Well, preacher, I can handle it. Well, I've dealt with a lot of people that thought they could. Well, preacher, I need something to knock the edge off. You're a pastor of church. I'm being real. I'm telling you. Read what Paul says about the cares of the church. He likens it to being beaten. That's what he said. You go back and read what Paul says. And he comes down here. He talks about shipwreck. He talks about starving. He talks about being beaten. And then he says this. And the cares of the church that's upon me daily. He likens pastoring the church in that whole realm right there. And you know what I found out? Let me tell you what I found out. The Word of God is the best edge taker offer of anything I've ever had. The Word of God. Man, you just get in the Bible. Say, preacher, I need something to take the edge off. I'm going to tell you, man. Let me tell you something else to help you take the edge off. Ain't nobody going to say amen right here. I guarantee you. Exercising. Exercising. Let me tell you what I do a lot of Wednesday nights after church. I go to the gym. I go to the gym. I don't know if I just run myself to sleep or if it really does take the edge off. We use, somebody help me right. We use all of these things to fulfill the lust of the flesh. To fulfill the lust. You say, well, preacher, the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. It did say it profiteth though. We got quiet right there. I just throw this out in passing. You'll never have another body to serve Jesus with. You'll never have another body to serve Jesus with. You better take care of it. So, preacher, you're preaching on alcohol. Now I'm preaching on everything else that moves. I told Miss Stephanie I was probably going to do that tonight. You better take care of it. Don't put the things into it. So I need something to take the edge off. Man, get in the Word of God. Get you a big cup of coffee. Hey, man, sit on the front porch and listen to the bison grunt. Get you a good dog at a play fetch. Get you some goat. And go sit down in the lot and watch them. You say, we're going to commit you. Don't try it. I promise you I'll be out in 30 minutes. All the answers, Brother Brian. I'm telling you. We don't have to go down that road. Your life does not have to be destroyed by alcohol. God, listen to me, God never put a go where he put a woe. He said, woe unto the man that puts strong drink to his neighbor's lips. Father,